Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Jennifer's program, Steps to Success. I've been working, well, knowing Jennifer about the last 3 or 4 years now.
Yes.
Jennifer she's the president of Allen Marketing Group and is a 25-year veteran of the travel industry with direct experience working in a majority of tourism business categories. In 2000, she founded Al-Anon Marketing, a tourism consultancy which cultivates tourism companies and destinations for effective marketing partnerships and operational initiatives. Jennifer also customizes and delivers tourism training programs for destinations and businesses, which is how she found her way to speak to you today. She's pretty amazing, actually. She spearheads the ongoing Steps to Success National Tourism Training Program in partnership with IITA and the Tourism Ready Tourism Training Program for NYC and Company, the official DMO of New York City. The impact and contribution of Jennifer's work is significant to tourism stakeholders and destinations, especially to small businesses and beyond the gateway destinations, as this training allows businesses to attain insight on achieving actual ROI on their tourism marketing initiatives. Jennifer?
Thank you. Thank you, Floyd.
Thanks.
Thank you always to IITA for having this great partnership with my company, Allen Marketing Group. Great to see you all. So let's start with a show of hands. We're going to do a couple things today. We're going to talk about the program and why you should have it or why it's important to your business. Hopefully we can get interactive and I can hear from you, because one thing I've learned with this Steps to Success Tourism Training Program is it has evolved as we've gone across the country, because all of you are telling us how your destinations vary. There's some very static things, to use a good industry term, about how things are the same in all destinations, but then it also changes in different destinations. So the more I hear from our constituents, the better I can help you. So let's start with a show of hands of who's here as a DMO. Great. So at least half of you. And then the rest of you, activities, attractions, transportation, dining. Did I cover them all? What else?
Shopping.
Something I missed. Parks, maybe?
Shopping,
retail, very, very important. Everything should be every visitor shops more than any other activity. So definitely retail should be part of this session and what we do here. The program was designed for DMOs to have something where they can share this program with their stakeholders and then make their stakeholders better at working with the inbound industry, right? So some of you may have heard Fred Dixon speak earlier at the general session, and we started this program as Tourism Ready in New York City, and it was about advancing tourism into the boroughs, getting to all the different business types. What has evolved over time is that it really began as entrepreneurs, small companies that didn't have the wherewithal to understand tourism, and it evolved into our corporations that, like a Madison Square Gardens or a New York Mets, as you may have heard me say at the DMO session, where they are learning how to work with the travel trade because they just weren't, because they didn't have to. But as sports tourism really spikes up in our industry, then now they're looking at how else I can get business, and certainly get business from international. And then there's our veteran companies where they have new employees that are coming, or the veteran companies are realizing that I never did it right to begin with, and or why was I even doing the things I do in working with the travel trade? So all of that has evolved over the time, and we'll spend some time on exactly what the program is, but then also we'll give you some case studies about how it's evolved for different destinations and different companies and made huge success for everybody. So feel free to ask questions as we go. As I said, it started in New York City, and we like to say it's a win-win-win-win. And why is that? It's because all of you as DMOs are already spending money in the international market, and then you're not seeing your ROI come to fruition. So really what's happening is that instead of just promoting your place, you're promoting now actual products, right? Because what does the inbound operator need, and what do tour operators need? They need to sell something. whether it's a room night, right? Or it's a place to eat or a place to shop. It has to be a product they sell. They're not in business just to advertise and say, hey, America's great, and come. So we're really evolving that, and that's like the end goal here. And then the suppliers, of course, are now able to not only sell what they were already selling as products, but getting very creative in developing new products, potentially products that are at a higher price point, and products that are creative with other partners in the destination to create experiences, because we all know that experiences is what international visitors are looking for, right? So they're gaining that. And then as buyers, of course, now they have more companies to work with, and I'll tell you some of those case studies in a bit. And then, of course, we're all in business here in tourism because visitors are looking for great experiences, and they're finding a lot more of those. So that's really the win-win-win-win for all of us. So what is this Steps to Success program? Like I said, it started in New York City, and what we do there is there's 8 sessions. And then we have a graduation at the end, and the graduation is called Discover More NYC, but it's all of the graduates that went through the program and delivered on what they were supposed to, because I give homework. And then they come and they meet the travel trade. And in New York, we're lucky because a lot of the travel trade are already based there, right? But in any of your destinations, I have a whole list of inbound operators who are willing to come to your destination and be part of the process of teaching and learning. Some of you already have them come, I'm sure, and are trying to get your hotels especially to work better with them. But they're willing to come and present with me. And Lena from America for You has been great about that. I'll say something, she says something, and it just resonates the points that have to be made about working with the travel trade. So 4 steps to success segue into the partnership with IITA. We have step 1, and really this one, and I'll talk about this in a minute, is just a paradigm shift to get everybody thinking on a new plane, and I'm going to talk about what that means in a minute. And then it's about, okay, after you learn about the travel trade and inbound operators and how they work, and we'll talk again about that, then it's what do I need to do as a business, because then it's about the actual tourism businesses that are getting the business. What do I need to do? So we create those step-by-step mechanics that they need to get into to actually be efficient to work with the trade. And then in any new business endeavor where your business change, your revenue is up, things are becoming more wholesome, then there's things to do operationally in your business. So our 3rd step is really saying, if you're going to do FIT business, if you're going to do group business, or you want to work with DMCs, which we'll talk about is the core of it all, then there's things that change in your business. And I can give you stories of suppliers in New York City that got into this business with the fortunate ones where the business came very quickly, but they weren't prepared for the business. So instead of shining, it wound up they had issues in working with the tour operators because they couldn't deliver. So the operational piece is very important. And then step 4 is where some of you may have heard me say yesterday, we bring everything full circle, because it's one thing for me to talk to you today, tell you all this in a quick hour. You absorb it, go back, influence someone else to make change in your company, do all of the things that you have to do to work with the trade, and then what? So we work one-on-one with you, and I work very closely with the companies that are part of the destinations to figure out what it means in their businesses, because everybody's a bit different, whether you're a different category, but even within categories, independent hotels from branded properties, very big story in how you get ready and how you work. And then the final thing is that this program is being delivered by IITA. So what does that mean? That means we can connect you to the business, right? So how many times do you go to a class and learn something, but then does someone actually show you how to get the business? And in this case, we have the inbound operators who are giving you the business. So what are we learning as the key concepts? Number 1, and I'll go through these quickly because this program, when I deliver it, typically is 2 to 3 hours. Today I have about 56 minutes, right, Floyd? So B2B versus B2C. When any of us started our business, a lot of times it's about working directly with the consumer, with the visitor who is coming. Now it's about working with third-party companies that are going to sell my business. So whoever's involved in working with these inbound operators has to realize that everything you do going forward is based on a new concept of working to tell somebody else different information. And that's where a lot of people struggle, because they're so used to talking to their regular customer that comes in the door. Second to that is thinking like an international visitor, because when you learn that international business is primarily bought through travel agents yet, and I've had rooms filled like this where they say no one uses a travel agent anymore. And we all know, right, because we're all here and part of the industry and probably on the advanced level of the industry, we know that things are changing and things are evolving in our industry. But if you go to Europe, there are still 4 travel agents on each corner of most of the streets, especially in High Street. So the way that the international traveler buys travel, why do they do that? They get 4 to 6 weeks vacation. We don't. Who does? Anybody? They are protected by their purchases, right? They're protected when they buy any kind of travel. So all of these things that we teach in the program, and I'm doing this very, very quickly, is about teaching you that you have to think how that visitor thinks, and then what we teach makes a lot more sense to participate in. And then in thinking in terms of how those visitors arrive. So really, I break it down real simple, but FIT visitors are the number one international visitor that comes first. So if you talk with any of the inbound operators here, they will tell you, yes, I'll give you groups, but when are you getting the groups?
After you give them the FIT contract.
Right? So now we have to think about all those things I actually said already, that individual travelers is a whole way of thinking, and there's a lot of operational, there's a lot of product things to think about to get ready for to receive those visitors. And then the third piece, and not every destination can accept these types of visitors, but it's the DMC visitors and those incentive visitors. And the great thing about the DMC and incentive side of the tour operator and inbound operator's business is that this is the high end, this is the more lucrative. This is the one where you can really showcase your destination and do things like we did last night with fireworks on the beach and glorified experiences. But you have to know how to do that, because with DMCs and MICE operators, they give you one chance. And if you don't do it well, there's no more business, right? So thinking in terms of FIT group and DMC is so critical to the concepts that I talk about in Tourism Ready and in Steps to Success. Fourth one, bookable product and bookable product in advance. How many of you are challenged by that, or your suppliers are challenged by that, right? Because a lot of us, including myself, I don't know what I'm doing this weekend, let alone I have to give you rates for a year from now, right? And I have to figure all of these things out. But this is how it works with inbound operators, and we know why, because most of us here are savvy to this, but they're selling in advance. And as Nick said today at ATI, these tour operators are still printing brochures, right? So how do they print a brochure with something that they don't have 6 to 9 months in advance? So it's all this conceptual understanding about this market and how powerful it is. Building on relationships, we all know that, or how many of you know the inbound operators, it's all about how we like each other, we know each other. So getting people to understand the importance of that business, because as we know, especially in hotel properties, the revenue manager sits behind a computer, sorry if there's any here, but you're looking at numbers. You're looking at numbers on a spreadsheet and you're thinking about business. How do we think about business? We think about business as, I like you. I want to do business with you. And then we build on that, right? So a lot of these companies, they don't know that's how you actually do business, is through relationship. And what happens through a relationship is a partnership. And then the partnership says, well, I don't really want your business now. And he says, well, I don't really, can't give you business then. And you work it out, right? So we're teaching them to think differently so they can see the value of this business and appreciate why these very select. Some people say, why is IITA only 200 members come? Because it's intimate and it's boutique, but it's quality. And in good business, it's quality over quantity. So I could go on and on about the relationships, but you all know that because we all love each other in this industry. Diversifying. I heard this a lot this last 2 days in some of the sessions. You know, we're going through a crisis with the coronavirus, but when you diversify your business, and I went to school for marketing, you have to have your eggs in different baskets. I want some student business, I want some senior business, I want some corporate business, I want some international, some domestic. And again, what happens, whether it's a revenue manager or it's somebody that we work for, is we want the top business. We want what comes easy and get it and it's a lot of money. But it's sometimes it doesn't always work that way, because you know, when you look at the crisis of 9/11 in New York City, what happened is how we rebuilt from no business coming for a very long time in the beginning was that our travel trade partners, our inbound operators, were the ones who brought us back up and got the business to come back. Because before that, New York was just an order-taking city, and then it became where our inbound operator partners were able to lift us up again to get business. So really diversifying is what we're talking about, and teaching companies that don't really know this. Business when you want it, not when you don't want it. So one of the first things I say when I'm teaching these classes is that, you know, you're all busy when you're busy. And so what are we doing with this market? This market is about figuring out that partnership and getting that business to you when you need it and when you want it, and never displacing the business that's already coming for you, because then my good friend here would not be sitting here, because you need to fill those rooms when they're not full, right? So it's really important to get the business when you want. And then we go totally into the value of the inbound operator and receptive. I'm not going to get into that now because I want to keep moving. I just moved already and I wasn't ready. But, you know, why is this inbound market? We're going to get into how the distribution works, how the distribution channel works. And the reality is I didn't make up this distribution channel. It exists. I was talking with Peter from Travalco last night, and, you know, he always coaches me on how to give better and more wholesome presentations to all of you, because he monitors what we're doing. And he said that the distribution channel is still in process. Travel agents buy through tour operators, who buy through wholesalers, who buy through receptive operators. So if you're going to challenge that that's not the way it works, then that's the first problem, and we got to get past that one, and then we can get to how to get ready to work with those valuable third-party buyers. Always talking about commitment, because if you don't do this for a while, how many of you have suppliers who start this, do it for a year, I'm getting nods, and then they say, I'm done, it didn't work. Right? We're all here because it does work, but you have to work at it and have a commitment towards it. And then, of course, partnerships across all tourism categories, because as I'm working this program across the state, what we're finding is, well, I'm going to talk about this in a minute, but we're changing the lines of the way that visitors are coming internationally. So they might have been on this route, but now that we have other places in a state that are tourism friendly and working with the business-to-business channel, then the movement of those passengers changes. This morning at the operator breakfast, I was telling the story about we were in Savannah and then Atlanta doing this program, and there was a village, Milledgeville, I always say it wrong, sorry, Milledgeville, who came to the sessions, got really fired up, got her suppliers ready, and now she's going to ITB with Atlanta CVB and working with the B2B market. And so do you think that line got drawn a little bit different, how those visitors are coming on their fly drive and self drive? It is. So that's what happens. So the key learnings, these are five of them. I'm doing them quick again because I also want to hear from all of you today. But levels of the travel trade. So we talked about this distribution channel. It exists. I did make this model, but it's taken from other models that I saw, but it's the one that I use. So international visitors buy through those travel agents. We talked a little bit about that. Actually still happens, and it happens to a large degree, who buy through tour operators, who then go to our most valuable player, which is our inbound operators. And when we get to pricing, we're all going to say that one of the biggest challenges in this is that our suppliers don't understand that you need to give this commission called a net rate, and you have to give more of it to this receptive inbound operator. And everyone thinks that the inbound operator takes so much, but actually the inbound operator gives so much, because their network is like a funnel, and they're selling to multiple tour operators who are selling to hundreds of travel agents and selling to thousands of consumers. So, and if we're giving them 30%, then they give 20 to the tour operator, another 10 to the travel agent, and then they sell at retail. We'll talk about that in the pricing in a minute. But in the end, what happens is that all of the business winds up at all of you here in the room, our supplier base, right? So we do cover, and in the program, I'm talking about what we cover in the program, and I'm doing it really fast now, but we talk about how there's predictability. I shouldn't use words I can't say, but predictability and control in how the visitor comes to you, and that, you know, how many of you in the inbound world and working with travel trade know that business a year in advance? And then that's really great. Because hotels can change carpets and they can paint walls and people know they have a confidence of that. So you can control your business. You can turn it on and off. The reach and the visibility, nobody's doing it on their own. You know, as small companies or independent properties, it's really the power we show about what these tour operators do. And I usually bring a couple tour brochures to show them. And then the whole idea, we talked already about relational and transactional, the existing network, and then really what are we doing with... How powerful is a business where we can go and get business and never pay a dime until they say, I have the people for you. I have the visitors, right? So these are the things that were influencing your suppliers and your destinations or your companies to understand. That's powerful because you can take advertising and you can go to trade shows and all. And a lot of times we don't know what's going to happen from that, but we do know that when we work strong and create our relationships, that we only pay when those visitors show up at the door. So the next one is this one pager, and it's so fun because in the couple sessions that we had today, more and more tour operators are saying, I don't even want the one pager anymore, right? But there's an industry standard, and we all have this one pager that we give at trade shows, and now I was just talking to Keith Snowd at Kaleidoscope, and he goes, if anybody sits down with that one pager during these meetings, he goes, I push it right back, and he goes, tell them, email it to me. And he does, and that's great, and that's the way it is moving towards, but it's not about this actual paper, right? It is about that because it's our industry tool, so I don't want to mislead you. But what it is really about is what is the content on this page? So funny thing about this program is that we spend a lot of time on this one pager and especially on the one-on-one part. And what happens is it's an exercise in understanding how to work with the inbound operators and travel trade. So I go back, I even get in some arguments with some folks because they don't want to do the work, you know. They say, oh, this is too much for me to do. But what it does for them is it gets them to think logically about working with inbound operators and travel trade. And I ask them to answer these questions. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. And this is the one that stumps them. How? But how does an FIT arrive to your business? How do groups arrive? Is there a place for that coach to park? If you want DMCs, what's that process like that you go through? Because DMCs need things very quickly and do RFPs and all of this. So going through this, at the end, when the constituents that come to the classes have their one pager, they're ready to work with the inbound travel trade, and they're ready to work with the tour operators. And so they go through this. And I've had so many different glory stories about this one pager. I'll tell you this one real quick. But there was a guy in the Bronx. He fought me all the time. He wasn't doing his one pager. Why are you making me do this? I just want to meet the tour operators. And at the end, he said, Jen, I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm a jerk. He goes, but the thing is, he goes, you know what you did for me? He goes, you gave me hours back in my day. Because now when he has this one pager with how to work with the trade and they call and he sends it through, the order comes. And he doesn't have to spend the 2 hours on the phone that he was doing this. So it's an important piece that we work on in this class and in this course, but it has a really solid end effect for the suppliers. We just talked a little bit about the net rates, but you know, this is how it goes, and we can talk more about this, and then there's a whole discussion about static and dynamic, and we get into that. And we also, as part of our Tourism Ready program now, which we're going to be doing, in fact, is Svetlana here, she's not from Philadelphia, we're going to do a hotel track just for hotels with this program, Steps to Success, because they're the ones that are holding up the process, right? Because the international tour operators can't bring day trippers. Probably could on some of these flights, but they don't, right? So they have to sleep somewhere, so they have to be the first ones that are ready. So the language and the conversation that we have with the hotels and the accommodations are completely different. And it's just really understanding the rationale about when you want this business and then never saying no, but saying how much. and acknowledging that there's different levels of the trade. So, and then Peter was even telling me a story last night from Travalco that, you know, the reason static rates are still needed is because some tour operators do series. They sell a whole series for thousands of customers coming, and it gets printed and it's out, you know, 7 months in advance, so you have to know. But he said also there's truth in advertising laws in some of the European countries. So if they don't put the exact price down, they can't say it's dynamic and it might be this and it might be that. So what I'm teaching with the hotel properties is that have a little bit of everything, right? But why would you want to miss out on this piece of business? And that's really getting into their heads of what they're thinking they know about this business and how we can make them think differently about it and then more favorably for them. That's really what's happening there. So it's a whole long story. We could do a whole hour just on that. We won't. But the rate part is going to be something that we talk about a lot, and I'm sure you as DMOs in the room know that's a critical part. We talk a lot about products. You know, the main things I'm going to say about it here is if you don't have something to sell, I said it earlier, then you can't work with inbound operators. But we have real fun with the fly drive, self drive concept, because what do most FIT visitors do? They land at our major gateways and they get in a car and they go. So most of the tour operators have brochures that show how those lines go, and then we're changing those lines. It's my favorite part of the whole program. In fact, I think I have a little slide in here to show you. But then that whole part about existing and new, and there's so many different ways to look at how you sell product. I can't get into the whole thing right now, but even hotels, we can say, you know, what do you do in a package in your hotel or package with someone next to you? I'm doing some work for Empire Outlets in Staten Island, and I told them, let's partner your incentive offer with some of the hotel properties and get people to shop. You look better. You're a hero. You're giving $700 in discounts to the new outlet center in New York City, and you just made your hotel properties look great. So we go into a lot about product, and then I mentioned earlier about the operations piece. And this is where it gets critical in our third step of steps to success, because each of these different categories of suppliers have a different way of getting ready. So we work with them on that. And not only do we talk with them individually, but we actually give them templates like agreements and credit applications or whatever it is, vouchers, so they can understand how to work with the inbound market. So I call it steps to success for a reason, because you really do. You go up the steps and you succeed at the end, and we have those great stories. Here's where we've been so far with the program. Across the country, we have more online coming. The way it works for the DMOs here is that you can just do step one, and we come in and we see who's excited, and then you kind of figure out if you want to do more steps, or you can buy into all the steps at once, which really makes sense, but not everybody has the budget. So I might as well, since I said the word budget, let you know that there's ways to fund this, right? I've worked with a couple destinations now who have gotten very creative. Maybe it's because that's probably important as DMOs, right? Who's paying for this? So there's grants, because you're bringing economic impact and international business to your destinations, but also sponsors. You can have paid participation. Challenge with that is sometimes it's really hard to get the people in the room the first time, because not everybody wants to learn this because they don't value it already in their mind, right? Once we get them in the room, we got them. But so there's different ways that you can work with this program. And I guess at this time I'd also say that we can customize this program any which way you want. I just gave you the example of Philadelphia and how I already did step one. They were the first destination that we did outside of New York City. But we're going back now, and Savannah and I are going to customize this, and we're going to work this, and we're going to get those hotels working with the travel trade. And a quick little story is that Tourism Ready ended last Thursday. We had a graduation called Discover More NYC, and we bring the 50 suppliers together with the 50 buyers. And so I ran into Peo. You all probably know Peo from CUSA. And he's like so happy to see me. Who was I with? I was with you, Lara. And he's like, I can't believe it. I got an FIT contract from that property out at the airport, and we haven't been able to get that contract forever, and I got it yesterday, and he was so happy. But these are the things that are happening. You know, when Fred and I first created this program, which was Tourism Ready then, it's this granular, you DMOs know this, work, right? You have to get these people to do something different than they're doing. It's not easy. Everybody's super busy. Everybody has in their head what they think is the right thing. So I'm pretty convincing, and I can, you know, once I'm in there, get the mind shifted. But it's up to you as DMOs in the room to get the right people to the room to begin with and get those suppliers there. You know, we have ways to do that, so we'll talk about that. But anyway, that's just some of the history. So these are some of the case studies. I want to hear from you, too, so I'm not going to get too much into it, but Lena from America for You has been instrumental in helping with us. And the story here, you don't have to read it, but what happened is that there was a wholesaler in Australia who actually wanted to sell Arkansas and did a promotion for it, but then realized they had, I don't remember exactly how it worked, but they didn't have any product to sell. So Lena called and said, Jen, you need to go do this program over here. Long story short, we went, Portnoy is Adventure World. We were able to get the hotels in a better place, and now Adventure World has their program in Arkansas, right? So it's this collaboration, we heard that word earlier, of getting everyone together. But this was the actual email exchange that we had, and it really works. And in Kentucky, Bonatel was very helpful with us because he was telling us a story about, again, them wanting to promote. You know, Travel South USA, a lot of you may know this organization, does amazing work to get international tourism to our country. But if there's no product to sell, we're back at square one. So Elliot went on this little tour throughout Kentucky, and Margaret set up all these meetings for him. And you know, they resolved some of these properties, not saying they didn't want to work with them and wanted to work with them. But when I spoke at their conference and I told them the uptick in the business in the 1 year was like $60,000 in one particular city of room nights, and then in another one it was $160,000, then they start listening. So what we'll do when we work with this program in your destinations is we'll get with the tour operators who are trying to sell and then the ones who have been successful and get out some of these issues and challenges so that we can show everyone this is how you can make the results. Does that all make sense? Yep, good. Chris was really great in Chris Pilley from Rocky Mountain Holiday Tour. So we were recently in South Dakota. And there's, again, those lines that are drawn. Everybody lands in Denver, and they do the whole thing, and they either go out, they either come back to Denver or they go out of Seattle. And he found one supplier to work with him, and that supplier wound up leaving the property that they were at, buying a hotel, right? He was in the property for a while. Wound up buying two more hotels. Now, Rocky Mountain Holiday Tours are coming way into South Dakota. They're not stopping at Mount Rushmore. They're coming across because this particular supplier. So that case study goes back to relationships, right? If they build the right relationships, then that business keeps coming. This guy left his property, sorry for that property, but now it's going to three other properties with one company. And then I have all the stats on these numbers, but we don't have time to go into all that now. So here's the little one, I think this is it, yes. So Tour Mappers, you all know Tour Mappers? So Tour Mappers is a receptive tour operator who focuses on the tertiary, secondary destinations. Does the main cities of New York and Miami, Orlando and LA, but they really focus on the rest of America first, right? So that's a reason for some of you to, hey, get in touch with them. And Sue from Tour Mappers was great in New York State. She made a partnership, and we went around, and we went to all 11 regions, and we did a program together like this. But long story short is she was trying to work with some of these states. These are her fly drive. Everybody know what a fly drive is? Should I explain that? Fly drive is, again, oh, I did say it earlier. They land, they get in a car, and they go. But this was the difference after doing some of the work of, you see you have the new lines. So their brochure in 2018 looked like that, and their brochure in 2019 looked like that. So how many of you want new lines on the map? right? That's the key. That's what we want to do. And we can, and the tour operators are ready. Never had a business that I was in where the buyer, the ones who are sending the business, are waiting for the suppliers to get ready. So that was the one about relationships I talked. And so now we can I can keep talking. As you probably can tell, I can talk forever, but I'm not going to anymore. So let's talk about some of you and maybe some challenges. Joanna's going to take some notes because I know I've already talked with some of you about bringing the program to you, or maybe as suppliers you can say what some of your challenges are. But, you know, just speaking, and even if you're a brand of a property, you know, does your destination or do you as a company have sellable products, enough of them to provide to the travel trade? Would you say yes, no? Challenges to that? Anybody want to chime in? Yes.
Hi, honey. How are you? Good. Kirstie with Crescent Hotels. We have about 100 hotels in the USA and Canada. And though our shift is changing to what we're incorporating into the company, we still have a lot of limited service products that the turnover is very high. And there's just not, with turnover comes lack of commitment.
Turnover with the employees?
With the employees,
yeah.
And the sales team.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I struggle with is, you know, selling Miss Martha on this concept and then Martha leaving.
Right.
And then having to educate someone else.
Right.
It's continually evolving, and that's not in the big properties, but the little properties.
You right.
How do we overcome that?
So actually, this whole program that I've written and developed and keeps evolving is really a psychological profile, because this is it. We have ways of thinking in the industry. That's why I start with the conceptual piece. And we all know that in our industry, people jump around a lot, probably more than any other industry, and just in our world now that's happening. But it is a big problem. So there's nothing that you can do, because then you have to start over. So many of the DMOs here, I'm sure, can tell me that there was a time and place, like I represented Brooklyn for years, there's a time and place where we had a good core group of hotels that were working with the trade. Those people left, and now we're like, it never happened. It doesn't exist, right? It's like, what? Like, I feel like a piece of my life disappeared because there's no more properties. The one girl, a great success story, who did the program Tourism Ready, graduated, came on some sales missions with us, wrote like $100,000 worth of business the first year, moved to New Jersey last week. I'm like, no, you can't. I want to go like pull her back. But so that's a challenge. Like, I don't really have an answer for. One thing I know that we're going to do with this program that I'm working with IITA and the board on is that we're going to certify those who come and take the program. So if you do leave, you bring that with you, and that's going to help companies that get those that understand the industry. But that's a tough one. Okay. I don't usually get stumped, yeah. Kirstie, but here
Sorry.
I am.
Training.
But that's true.
Training.
No, just
it's training. It is training. Yeah.
As a supplier, I think the educational piece for the salesperson is very crucial, because what I learned coming from Starwood into Marriott at the time when we were purchased, there was a lack of understanding of the segment. So the lack of understanding creates, it's a little bit intimidating for some that don't understand who they should be aligning themselves to, or if that business obviously is getting to your property. So I would say the majority of the time, and I was fortunate enough to have a team that's deployed across the United States, because it's not just New York anymore.
Right.
We're deployed across all 8 regions, and they are savvy enough to be able to educate the suppliers to be able to say,
right.
Hey, look, these are your source markets. These are the airlifts that are coming in. Here are the opportunities.
Yeah.
Partner with the CD.
Some standard.
Understand, right.
Yeah.
Standard.
I like that, Joe.
Understand what impact that can be for you. And again, it's up to the hotel how much of that business they want to also bring in. But you should be able to get some of that business in.
Right,
but
exactly.
If you don't understand it, how are you going to go about understanding why we are trying to influence it so much?
That's a really good point, Martha. So we're talking about standardizing certain pieces, like, you know, like the concepts, like you have to know this. And I went through those super quick. I have a whole class I do on them. But that will teach everyone that this is valuable, right? That's the first thing.
then the how becomes easy. So we're working on some standard. We have some of that with Tourism Ready in New York. And, you know, the training is just vital to it all. So, yeah. Greg, you had your hand up?
I don't know anybody that would have any more experience than this with this than you. I just don't in the country. So that's the premise I'm going to ask this question of. So in Rochester, where I'm from, we've dealt with this as every city in the country does for decades, right? As you've indicated. So we took a policy and we said, we're going to go with this problem. This took a lot of balls on our, excuse my language. We're going to go to the owner of the dirt and the building and tell them that their management company they hired or the general managers they have these properties aren't adopting a policy that will give them more business. The one constant that doesn't move is the, well, they move, but not as much, is the owner of the dirt and the owner of the building.
Right.
It takes a lot of guts to do that because you're running into, but I want, my question to you was, do you have any experience where that happened? Because the key, right, as you're saying is, get a policy adopted from the owner of the business that says you will do this. I don't care if you're a new employee of a day old or a 10-year-old. Because that deals with the revenue manager, it deals with the director of sales, and it deals with the general manager, and it deals with the sales person.
Right.
So we're right in the middle of that in Rochester, New York. And yeah, we get a lot of flack from the hotel, but we say, hey, we gave you the chance.
Right. And then you have to take care of the problem because you're responsible for the economic impact. So what we have done is a couple things. Number one is part of the step four with that one-on-one directly impacts that because I'm sitting on the phone or meeting with COOs, CMOs, CEOs, CFOs, and having conversations. And a lot of times, and Svetlana and I were talking about this last night, that you know, there's some employees that they are told no and they just say no. In case you didn't realize, like, I'm not that person, so I started my own business. So I'm able to go fight for what I want, but not everybody has that personality or they're going to do that and they accept that. So sometimes we have to go do that for them, but that's what you're saying. Like you have to, well, because otherwise what are we doing? We're spinning our wheels. The whole way that this program developed for IITA is that the buyers were saying there's no product, right? We're hearing, it started with Margaret from Kentucky. You come, you're beautiful, your place is beautiful, but means nothing because I cannot sell you. And so now we're pulling back that layer. And it is, it's granular hard work. I'm not telling you that this is easy. My staff knows, they think I'm crazy. They're like, you work around the clock and you're calling this state and that state. But you know, so yeah, it's hard. It's really getting them to understand it and training and putting policy in place and right? And it's changing. So every day I have to learn more because this is changing. And, you know, talking now, I have a whole class on APIs. Who thought I would ever be talking about application programming interfaces? Right? But I am because this is the way the world is going, and that's okay. We can have those conversations, but we still have to talk about the traditional way that things are. Because if you look at the numbers, and NYC and Company put these numbers out, still 60 to 70% of the inbound travel trade is, international visitors coming through travel trade. So those guys who aren't paying attention are missing something really big, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I have a quick follow-up question, but it's in a little different track. Is what you're doing and been doing for a few years now lend itself to a webinar? I mean, do you do this electronically?
Yes. Working on it. The thing I have a challenge with it is that I got eye contact now. I know who's thinking about this program. I know how brains are sizzling. I can't get that through the phone. And because of the very nature of people not understanding this, we did a webinar. Is anyone here from Capital Region? There you go. Kimberly, thank you. And we were laughing last night. I'm sorry, I saw you there the whole time. And at the end of the webinar, because we did our first webinar, and then not even me, Scott was like, so everybody, you know, asked a couple questions. And I'm on the other end going, what do I do? You know, I don't even know what to say or do because you can't rapport. So yes, we're getting there. We're going to do it with the help of Lotta on my team. And Joanna, by the way, these are my ladies that make it all go around. So didn't introduce you before, but now you go. They're helping me to figure this out and do it in bite-sized information because the class itself is very long and strong, right? Good. All right, let's keep going because I got a couple questions that get everybody. So then in addition to having the sellable products and services, are they in advance? And we talked before about that, and I saw the head nods. You need to have that. And then what we're doing in some of the destinations now before we go in, and especially with the webinars, is what describes your knowledge of the market. Because sometimes when we get a class, some people will raise their hand, this happens really a lot in New York City, and go, I'm just here for the leads. Where are the tour operators, right? And then you have to laugh, thank you. And then other times that they'll say, I really want to understand this and I want to grow my business and this and that. So when and if we do this with you, you know, what is their knowledge? And what I've been doing is doing the questions in the survey two different ways. Same question, two different ways. And when I get two different answers, what does that tell me? They really don't know. So then that can talk to them differently. So. You know, finding out how their knowledge is really important. And then if they're not willing to or they don't have net rates, then that's a problem because I've had a lot of hotels who came through the program and they were able to put the one pager and have the contracts, but then they said, we're only doing one net rate. That doesn't work, you know? So we have to really pull that back and say, you know, you need to have at least two tiers, if not three, yes.
Can I ask a question just about confidentiality with rates? So like, for instance, on our one cheater, we generally have our inclusive rates that we put out for receptives and then also for standard tour operators. Is that less than ideal confidential just when you're...
Like, say it one more time for... You said two, right?
Yep, and I'm just saying, like, just in terms of confidentiality, like, how out is two out versus...
Well, the net rate should be confidential, and then they should be behind the scenes. So net rates never go on a one-pager, so that's the first thing. And then I never even bring them to a trade show and just, like, have a back-end rate matrix and have the conversation after, because even when we do this Discover More NYC, we have three different types of buyer there. We had Flight Center, which is a wholesaler, we had the inbound operators, and we had tour operators. So don't even get into all of that. Just say, yes, I have net rates, and then go look up who they are, you know, because I have a client who I've had for 10 years, helicopter flight services in New York City. He still calls and goes, I just got a call from this tour operator. Am I right that they're a tour operator or they're receptive or whatever? And so that's okay because, there's, you know, in the class we teach about how to qualify and then how to make sure that you get what you need out of working with that tour operator, right?
It's okay to ask.
It's okay to ask, yeah. Yeah, it means that you understand that they're significant, you know? So much more I could go on that. Let's have a side conversation. All right, so really important piece. And then in the end, are you ready to work with the travel trade? Because that's the question that we have to answer. And then in your destinations, you know, do you need this program? When we talk about how much does it cost, I feel like after what I've been doing and that I simply because I teach it in New York City, if they need it, everyone needs it. But there's so much room for growth because a lot of times people look at what they're getting and they're happy with it. I think what this uncovers is what you're not getting, what that opportunity is in working with the travel trade and the inbound operators and their power and what they can do for you. And to Joanna's point, when you're in those 5-minute meetings, which aren't very long, you know, understanding how they sell, which is a big part of our step two, I really dive down in the who the travel trade are and what the differences are and how to stop talking to them like they're your regular consumers. Anybody here ever do a familiarization tour and you brought the travel trade and then somebody comes out and they say, oh, birthday parties, graduations, we do it all here. And you're like, you know, so... You got to understand who you're talking to, and you have to talk to them. You know, I can tell you so many stories about that because I also do How Do Fam Tour. But anyway, it's really uncovering: are they ready, and how much more can be gained? Because another conversation I had last night with another tour operator was that they don't need a lot in your destination. So what happens, and this is very true because some of you may have heard Margaret from Kentucky speak and say her biggest challenge was getting the hotels there, and it is for a lot of different destinations. But once tour operators or inbound operators start selling just one or two of your properties, guess what happens? Everybody else wants to know what's going on. Where's that business coming from? Why are they so busy? What's happening here? I have a real life situation like this in Westchester, and we can't talk about who's doing so good because they're doing really good. They're booking tons of business from the travel trade, and everybody else wants to know what happened. Where did they get the business? You know? So seriously, this is the fun part, I think, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun. So we'll get two or three ready. Don't shoot for the moon. Shoot for the stars. But let's just get a couple ready in your destinations, and then everyone else will jump on board, right? Okay. So what are your challenges? If you can give me your challenges, a couple. We're down to 10 minutes and then a wrap-up. So what do you see? What have you heard that's good? What didn't you hear that you need to hear? Should we go around the room? No, I won't do that to you. Yes.
I'm Linda with Fairfax County, so Capital Region.
Great. Were you on the call?
No.
Okay.
There wouldn't have been crickets otherwise. But the Capital Region, our team is so strong. Everyone works really well together. But personally, as Fairfax, some of our challenges with suppliers is advanced pricing, and especially on the hotel front. Like, what? You want to contract 2022? No. Like, door closed, end of conversation. Yeah. And then also just even the thought of having a paradigm shift to learn about the travel trade, to work with them, they don't want to do. They're comfortable with, it's not really that broken, just doing direct B2C, and so why fix it? Yeah. So even starting to have that conversation, this is a tour operator, that's like 80% of my job is educating and getting them to understand that you need to be B2B. Really tap into the market.
And so when we come in, also know that we're supporting your efforts as DMOs, right? So they've heard it from you, and it's like you made it all up, and they don't believe a word you said. Trust me. Yeah. So then I come, and then they're like, oh, maybe this is true. And then when I come with a buyer, and then they say, this is literally how it works, and if you sign here, you're going to have business tomorrow, things start to change, you know what I mean? So really, you can do that. But there was something else I wanted to say to you, but I can't remember what it was right now. But it's a process, and it really is, you know, working at it and continuing to teach them that this is something viable and valuable. Oh, I know what I was going to say. So in Fort Lauderdale, I'm working with Tracy, who was in Atlanta.
Georgia,
yeah. Yep, and then now she's in Fort Lauderdale. And their convention center is closing for 4 years. Okay? And there's a spike in inventory for hotels. And I don't want to tell you all the things that are going around with them. But now when we go and talk to this destination, we have a whole nother conversation. So what also happens with this program is we talk a lot before I come there. So it's not like Jen came and here's the textbook program and then, you know, here it is and goodbye. I'm telling them things that are like, how did you know that? Because then we're talking their language and we're talking what's actually going on in their destination. Quick story about that. Tourism Ready is in its fifth year in New York City. First year, we had maybe 3 hotels come. We're up to 40 hotels that just signed on for Tourism Ready. Why? Because if you heard Fred Dixon speak, the spike in inventory is larger than the whole city of Boston in the last 12 years. So maybe you need to pay attention to what's going on in your destination and then say, well, I'm not always going to be so busy. And this is how we fill the rooms, right? Because you create a partnership and they bring the business when you want it. And you work, you know, you give a little, get a lot is what I say. So thank you for that. So we'll work on those things with you. Each destination. There's some standards and then there's some very custom part of the program. Okay? Other challenges, things I didn't mention or things I mentioned you don't agree with?
Jim, just are you addressing anywhere in your training about dynamic pricing?
Yes. And like I said, we've now created a hotel track. So we're doing that in a separate room because when we're talking with a full room of suppliers from retail through dining and all of that, it gets very hard to get into that conversation.
Right.
So now what we're doing, and specifically in Philadelphia and New York, we're doing a hotel track only, and we'll absolutely cover that and talk about it. Yeah.
And your actual training, how does that work? It's 1 day, it's 2 days?
So there's 4 steps, and then, well, it can be customized, but I had to have a template, right? So there's 3 sessions where I come, and they're half-day sessions.
Okay.
And then the step 4 is working one-on-one, and that's usually with the hotel properties and getting through their challenges, you know? Like in the Brown Hotel in Kentucky, historic property, very busy with local events, but wasn't tapping into this at all, and now is, and, you know, so, yeah, evolving it around.
Okay.
But it can be customized to anything you want, you know? So, anything else? I think, should we go to another session? Yes.
So how can I easily identify the right person to talk to about this? Because I start with the front desk, director of sales, whatever, and sometimes have to explain. Can you be familiar with the concept of inbound operator,
right,
receptive operator, and then the person I want to speak to may not be that familiar.
Good. So that's a great question. In case any of you didn't hear it, you know, how do I get the right people in the room? So we start off with our conversation that I said, right? And I'm going to give you lots of oomph to put into this email to do the invitation to see who's going to come. Then we see who's missing. And then our team has actually gotten on the phone. You can get on the phone. I don't like to even say this, but One Destination even incentivized certain people to come, like revenue managers, and I don't think that we should have to do that, right? That's a bad thing. But it's really having that conversation, and it is a little bit of roll up your sleeves work, but the difference that we can make in your destination by doing it, you know? And I will tell you this, that I'll tell you who I had. This is a great final story. St. Augustine, Evelyn, you all know her, right? So we had the program there, and she wasn't able to attain a lot of the people. She was also getting married. She was doing all this and this, and I didn't know if it was, Evelyn, did you send the invitation out? Or, Evelyn, can you really not get them in the room? Long story short, we had 8 properties join the session. 5 of them are contracted. I don't think I should say with who. Maybe I can. But anyway, a tour operator at TIA this week and said, I contracted with 5 of those 8 buyers. 5 of those 8 properties. So we had to work at it, and once we get them in the room, trust me, I flip them, you know? You teach them what's good for themselves, you know, and they turn into heroes. And so do you for having the program, because now we got, you know, mass here. It's working. And anybody shouldn't tell us either, but call Fred Dixon. He'll tell you how the success stories that we've done in New York, you know, you heard him say it earlier. We're in our 5th year doing it, so it works, you know. Thank you, everybody. I think we did good, right?
Yeah.
I'm a speed talker.
Filled out the forms. Please hand them off to me.
Fill out your forms. Only good things. No, I'm kidding.